الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيدا. We praise Allah the divine, the Lord of all beings, a praise that equals his gifts and is commensurate to his the increase that he gives. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. O my Lord, praise is yours as is becoming of the magnificence of your countenance and the greatness of your power. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Glory to you. We cannot praise you as you have praised yourself. الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. We praise Allah and ask him to grant peace to his chosen servants. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وكرم على سيدنا محمد حبيب الله. And we ask Allah to send mercy and esteem, security, blessings, and ennoblement upon his beloved, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, al-azimi khuluqihi, the one of great character, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa jamil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, and we ask that these prayers before his folk, and this encompasses us in the widest sense, all people of taqwa, as well as his companions, and all prophets and messengers, وَالتَّابِعِينَ لَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَعَلَيْنَا مَعَهُمْ وَفِيهِمْ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحِيمِينَ. And we ask that this be upon those who follow them in goodness until the day of judgment, and with upon us, with all of those mentioned, the Prophet and his companions and all prophets and messengers, that these prayers be upon us, with them and among them, by God's mercy, and he's the most merciful of the merciful. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the best of character, and no one guides us to the best of character except him. And we ask him to avert from us evil character. No one averts evil character from us except him. Allahumma ahdina li ahsan al-akhlaqi la yahdina li ahsaniha illa ant. Wasrif anna sayyaha la yasrif anna sayyaha illa ant bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. So we'll be talking about Allah's beloved and how someone maintains an identification with, by that we mean a similarity to and a close affinity for the beloved of God, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the rough and tumble of the challenges that face him or her in these difficult circumstances in which we find ourselves. And we'd like to review briefly a couple of points related to identity and how we feel it relates to us, people of faith. Those of you who attended our previous session, this will be review for you, and the rest of you, it will be, inshallah, something of a set way for what follows, and we kind of strung these two sessions together today. So when we talk about identity, we're meaning determining, defining qualities of an individual that make him or her, his or herself, and a close affinity for a given group or resemblance of that group. And you are a believer, or as a Muslim, you are someone who has surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has an attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God, glorious and exalted is He, to the divine, to the Creator, who we've known from the earliest recollection of our existence that we're aware of. And that was during the life of Adam alayhi salam. Allah teaches us in the Quran in 7 verse 172 that Allah drew all of Adam's children from his loins and their children from their loins and gathered them all in a congregation and had them testify to his lordship and their servitude to him and his oneness. Allah spoke to you and I and said, "Alastu bi rabbikum?" And we said, "Bala shahidna." That's the earliest recollection we have of our existence. And what existence? It wasn't the existence of this body. That began with the body growing in our mother's wombs and the soul, which is the existence we're talking about, being placed in those wombs. So when we talk about the identity or the you that you are, we mean your heart and your soul. And you've been that a lot longer than you've been in this body and in this realm, and you will be that forever. So that's the you. And then that has qualities, distinguishing qualities that make you a Muslim, make you a believer, make you from the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we propose, and we do propose this, that if we were to pick one quality that determines believers, if not being the quality of faith, but what are attributes that people of faith have, the primary attribute that we propose is that of love. That a believer is a lover. A believer is someone who loves God. He loves the divine. He or she is attached to the divine, and they love for the divine. And they also loathe for the sake of the divine. This love is their quality. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe have more intense love for God. Allah says of them, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. He loves them and they love him. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that this is a condition of our faith. And he says, لَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. This hadith is sahih. One of you doesn't believe until I am more beloved to him than his parent child and all of humanity. It's necessary to really experience this that we are believers. And he taught us this in another well-known hadith. ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three things, if they are in someone, he or she will find that they will taste the sweetness of faith. So much so that it captures them, not just their body, their soul, and dominates their emotions. So what are these? مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. The one to whom God and his messenger are dearer, are more beloved to him or her than everything else. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And someone who loves a servant and he does not love them except for Allah, except for the divine. وَمَنْ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدْ إِذْ أَنْكَذَهُ اللَّهِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُخْذَفَ أَوْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. And someone who loathes, they detest to return to disbelief after Allah saved them, just in the manner that they would hate to be cast in the fire. That person experiences the sweetness of this faith. That person is truly characterized by this, and that person, when they go forth with this identifying characteristic of believers, that being that they are lovers, attached to Allah, who they love, they accept for him and reject for him. They love for him and they loathe for him. They give for him and they take for him. And then that colors everything else in which or they engage and every circumstance with which they are confronted. So that's something of our understanding or our definition of the terms in which we're speaking with respect to identity, that we identify or we are identified not by just behavior, not by just that we're Muslim. That means we bow, prostrate, stand, recite five times a day, take a certain percentage from our wealth, don't eat from dawn until sunset a certain time, not just because of things we do, because of something deep inside us that is the motivation for that which we do. And that love is a primary characteristic of those that have this great gift, this identity of being people who have faith in God and prophets, and follow the prophets. So then, we want to talk a little bit about the beloved himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he was, and what his character was, and he demonstrates for us the path of how we express the love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the path by which we nurture in ourselves this love, and seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from God, exalted is He, His love subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah clearly articulated this, or clearly revealed this to us in a saying, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ. Say, if you do indeed love God, then closely follow me and God will love you. Closely follow me, this being revealed on the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's beloved, and what will be the result? That Allah's love of us manifest. So the path for lovers can only be the path of the beloved of the one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So it's imperative that we know this path, that we study his character. Prior to mentioning some specific examples of this and circumstances with which he was confronted, we want to talk a little bit about his essence, his meaning, and actually even his form. And bear with me some, because human language, it cannot really fully bear the meanings that we would hope to express, not just about God and his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the attributes of his beloved, and only the lover knows his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But God and his mercy allowed us to talk about him in the tongue of his revelation, and were it not for that, perhaps we couldn't, because language wouldn't do him justice. But this revealed language indicates meanings about him that if we open ourselves to the messenger that conveyed it and the message that he conveyed, it will speak to things in our soul that will direct us to meanings about the attributes of this divine subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger. And I say all of that as a segue, that if we say something that sounds a little bit problematic, just bear with us some. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa baraka alayhi wa ala ali. Identity comes from a meaning that is a word that's late Latin, identius. And I didn't study Latin, so if I'm not pronouncing it exactly right, please bear with me. That's from Latin, idem, to means to be the same. That means to have a resemblance or an imitation. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is entirely dissimilar to his creation. However, his creation mirrors his attributes. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mirrors his attribute. It's theophany. In it, we study the attributes of its creator. We talk about the book in Islam, or the books in Islam, and they mention the Quran, the revelation. They say, Kitabuhu, Kitabullah, al-Mastur, the book of God that is written in the lines of revelation. And then we talk about Kitabullah, al-Mandur, the book of God upon which we gaze, meaning this creation and all of it. And Allah taught us this, and he said, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We will show them our signs. We will show them our signs, and signs being the same word, the same name of verses, on the horizons in the creation and within themselves, until what becomes clear? Until it becomes clear that it is the truth. So the attributes of the real become clear to us. So studying the creation teaches us about the creator. But not only that, Allah ordered us to emulate these attributes. He commanded us to be lordly slaves. Kunu rabbaniyin. Be lordly servants. Servants that emulate the beautiful attributes of their creator. And obviously Allah is dissimilar to his creation. However, Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah is the compassionate, the merciful. And he ordered us to be Rahimun, that we be people of mercy. For instance, in the hadith of the Prophet, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamahum Ar-Rahman tabaraka wa ta'ala. Those who have mercy, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, shows them mercy, blessed and exalted is he. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. All of you show mercy to those on the earth, and those in the heavens will show mercy to you. So we're ordered to emulate the manifestations of Allah's beautiful attributes and even names in this creation. So in a sense, that we have not just an identification with Allah and Islam and Prophet Muhammad, through our faith, but we even actually have an identification, meaning a resemblance for, an affinity for, a close relationship with Allah's names and attributes. And if we understand this, the primary one who demonstrated to us these attributes and names is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we said we wanted to talk about his character in general, but even his form. And Al-Busiri said, and we'll talk about him or sing about some of his verses tonight in a gathering at the Marriott at about 11. Sidi Omar will more beautifully articulate them than I will right now, but we hope many of you will join us. He said, فَهُوَ الَّذِي تَمَّى مَعْنَاهُ وَصُورَتُهُ ثُمَّ اصْطَفَاهُ حَبِيبًا بَارِئُ النَّسَمِ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ شَرِيكٍ فِي مَحَاسِنِهِ فَجَوْهَرُ الْحُسْنِ فِيهِ غَيْرُ مُنْقَسِمِ. He said, he is the one whose form was perfected, as well as his meaning his physical form, as well as his meaning, the you that we were talking about, your soul, his soul. And then he was selected as the beloved of the creator, the originator, Bari'un Nasami, of humanity, the originator of humanity, above having a co-sharer in his beautiful qualities. In him, the essence of splendor was undivided. So he, in his meaning, but not just his meaning, his form was a demonstration for us, was a leader for us in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves from his creation, in manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful names and attributes. So with respect to his meaning, and again, it's clear to all of us, it doesn't escape any of us perhaps, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a magnificent character. And if we're talking about his example for us in identity and the rough and tumble of challenges, look at his character. And Allah describes his character in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily, you are upon, meaning you have gained mastery of, as if to have surmounted magnificent character. And Sayyidatina Aisha described this, Lady Aisha, his beloved wife, that great jurist, lexicologist, judge, doctor, person of comportment, adab, etiquette. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says that one quarter of the Sharia, as well as the adab, the etiquettes and characteristics of Islam, we trace them back to Lady Aisha radiallahu anha, and this speaks to our sisters in terms of the bar and of scholarship, and us as a community facilitating that. In any case, when the next generation wanted to know about this messenger and this character that all of us are seeking to know, they could come to Lady Aisha radiallahu anha, and she would receive male students and teach them, though if they were not mahram, it would be from behind a screen. So they came and they said, Ya ummal mu'mineen anbi'ini an akhlaqil mu'min an akhlaqi rasulillah. Oh, mother of the faithful, our mother. If we identify ourselves as believers, and inshallah we'll see our mother in Jannah, and we ask Allah that by his mercy, and he's the most merciful of the merciful, inform us about the character of the messenger of God. So then she said, don't you recite the Quran? Alasta taqra'u al-Quran? Like, why are you asking me? Just look no further than the revelation that he received, and that will tell you the akhlaq of that messenger. And the questioner said, Of course I recite the Quran. So then she said, فَإِنَّ خُلُقَ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ كَانَ الْقُرْآنِ. Verily, the character of God's Prophet was the Quran. Verily, the character of God's Prophet was the Quran. And the questioner asked two more questions, details about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's worship. But he said, when she said that, I was inclined to get up and never ask anyone else any other question. Meaning she gave it all in one answer. And that was one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's miracle encompassing words. And that flowed in to some degree to those who kept his company as characteristics do. So in this is an obscure indication of a meaning that one of our great knowers of God, Al-Arif As-Suhrawardi, extracted from the saying of Sayyidatina Aisha, كَانَ مُتَخَلِّقًا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam emulated the beautiful attributes of God in his character, and we're commanded to do so in tradition, so that meanings of God's beautiful names of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Kareem, Al-Jawad, Al-Halim, Al-Wadud, the most merciful, the compassionate, the most generous, the munificent, the loving, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated this in his character. And perhaps more wondrous than that, his form demonstrated this. He didn't just identify with the revelation in that which we might say that a person could have a choice about, particularly in that time before plastic surgery and such. But he was shaped by the revelation and those things that were beyond human choice. And Sayyidina Anas narrates, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, the last morning they saw him, stood in the quarters, the door to the quarters of Sayyidatina Aisha, and drew the curtain from the hujra. And that was his door. The door of Allah's beloved, the best of creation, was a curtain. And that was a condition in which he died. And he gazed upon his companions, and this is a dawn prayer. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr was standing in prayer, leading them after the order of the Prophet ﷺ, and he receded, began to recede. And the companion said that we were so joyous due to seeing the Prophet, because they feared his death, it was in his fatal illness, that we were almost distracted from our prayer. But the Prophet ﷺ indicated for them to remain. And he gazed upon them, and Sayyidina Anas said that he stood smiling. It was as though his face was a page of the Quran. كَأَنَّ وَجْهَهُ وَرَقَةُ مُصْحَفْ. It was as though his face was a page of scripture. And they say, Imam An-Nawawi, which is a mainstream jurist, commenting on this, that just as the Quran, a page of scripture, is beautiful and radiant physically, it's beautiful and radiant in its meaning, and that's how his face was. His very face reflected the meanings of that revelation that he embodied. So when we connect to him, literally we're connecting to the revelation of God. We're not just identifying ourselves with Islam, which is an immense thing. We're not just identifying ourselves with Iman, which is a great thing. We are identifying ourselves with the revelation itself, and in a sense, emulating those attributes of the divine as they manifest in this creation to the degree that that's humanly possible. So how do those attributes play out on the surface of this earth in human form? And that is the condition in which we find ourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, if we look at his character with his family, with his wives, with the children of his home, and that is one of the greatest and primary measures of any human being, what do we find? When Sayyidatina Aisha was asked, radiyallahu anha, about the character of Allah's beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom if we follow, we will be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will have this identity that we're seeking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful names and attributes. She said, he was a man from among men. He was humble. He would stitch his garment. He would cobble his shoes. He would clean, remove dirt that would stick to his garment. He would milk his goat. He would pick something up and carry it. However, there was a domesticated animal, perhaps a chicken, that when the Prophet ﷺ would come in, it would go stand in a corner and not move until he exited. Yani the haybah was still there. And that's how he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَ وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّ. If someone saw him suddenly, they would be in awe of him. This is Habibullah, this is Abdullah, this is a servant of God. They would be in awe, but if they kept his company, mixed with him until they knew him, they would love him. So the family, they mixed with him, but this Allah left in this this livestock an indication of what the station of this prophet was. It would be still. And they asked Sayyidatina Aisha and some of the other versions of this tradition, how do you converse with him? How do you deal with him? When we see him, we're awestruck. And some of his heirs are like this. Some of our shuyukh, Sidi Omar can tell us, if they walk down the hall of school, you wish you could shrink into the floor out of awe. You wish you could jump into the next room. Why? Because Allah clothes them in majestic attributes when they didn't act that way, but they acted according to his beautiful attributes. They acted humbly, and he clothed them in his kibriya. So they're awe-inspiring to others, and they're great in the sight of others. The Prophet ﷺ, that's how he was. But his family, he was so humble with them that they could just deal with him and act like any old person would with a family, and even argue with him, even challenge him. Sayyidatina Aisha would challenge him, and they might argue, and they might ask for Sayyidina Abu Bakr to judge between them and call Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And Sayyidatina Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ said, would you like to speak first or shall I? And she said, you speak first, but only speak the truth. Radiallahu anha. And we should laugh. We should smile about the character of the Prophet ﷺ and also human frailty. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, yani, in a station of powerful certitude, he didn't tolerate from his daughter, and he actually disciplined her. So then she had to jump behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who she had just insulted, so that she could ward her father's anger off. And he said, Abu Bakr, we didn't ask you for this. But that's how he was. He might take a morsel of food, or she might take a morsel of food and bite from it, and so much would he conform to her likes. There was so much muwafaqa, which is a type of good character, conforming to the likes and the inclinations of those with whom one keeps company, that the Prophet ﷺ would take the same morsel and bite it from the very same place as Sayyidatina Aisha. So close and tender was that bond that he died leaning against the chest of Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. And she considered from her manaqib, from her distinctions, that Allah joined her saliva and his in his final moments. And there was a siwak that she had, and he looked to it, indicating that he wanted it. She moistened it for him, and he did siwak with it prior to meeting the highest company, ila rafiq al-a'la. The Prophet ﷺ, she said in the previous tradition that we were mentioning, that he would do all of these chores, but how was he? A heart entirely attached to its Lord. Not distracted from his Lord and the service of that Lord by anyone. And when the prayer time would come, he would leave as though he didn't know us and we didn't know him. That's some of how he was in the home, in the context of wives. In the context of children, so merciful was he, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that he might prostrate and Sayyidina Hassan or Hussein radiallahu anhum would climb on his back when he would be prostrate, and he would remain, again, conforming to the sensitivities and amusement of this child, to the extent that he would remain prostrating until the child became bored and climbed down from his back. And the companions thought, did he die in prostration? And what kind of prostration must that have been for him to prostrate so long? They believe maybe he's died. But that was his gentleness and his rearing of the children of his homes. His public dealing before Islam, much less after Islam, was such that he was known as Muhammad al-Amin. Muhammad, the one of trustworthiness. Muhammad as-Sadiq, the one of truthfulness, who when one of his enemies in the company of the Caesar of Rome, Hiraqal, was asked, does he ever lie? His enemy at that time was forced to say, we've never experienced lying from him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how was he with those enemies? And with this, we will conclude. And this is perhaps from the favorite of our accounts, is the Battle of Uhud, which was the most severe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's battles, in which he was personally injured. That face that would be compared to the full moon, that face about which it would be said it was as though the sun flowed in that face, that face that was compared to a page of scripture, was wounded. His forehead split, his helmet smashed, his eye tooth broken, his cheek split, the link from his chainmail embedded in his cheek so firmly that Abu Ubaidah, who extracted it from his with his teeth, lost his front teeth. He was wounded to that degree, and when the companions saw him wounded in this condition and were shaken, because as we mentioned, a person of faith loves Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, they said, if you would just pray against them, O Messenger of God, pray against these enemies and that'll be that. Not a weapon of mass destruction, a weapon of divine wrath. Rain it upon them. And he was angered by that. He was angered by that. And he said, Lam ub'ath la'ana. Lam ub'ath la'ana. I was not sent to curse, to do la'an. What is la'an? At-tardu min rahmatillah. I was not sent to exile others from the sphere of divine mercy. Bu'ithtu da'iyatan wa rahmah. I was sent as a summoner. I'm supposed to get you all in the door. I got to get you in here. And we ask Allah to rain mercy upon us, and I was sent as a mercy. Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people, for verily they know not. And we ask Allah to give us guidance and to connect us to Allah and this messenger so that we identify with what we really are and are attached to something real, attached to the real. And if we do that, and we know we didn't bring too many specific examples, but if we're attached like this and we go forth emulating the messenger, we will find in his life examples for every circumstance with which we are confronted, and not just us in our lifetime, until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and have mercy upon us and make us keys which unlock doors of good, locks which prevent all evil, that Allah grant us His love and those love of those whom He loves and the love of the deeds that bring us nearer to His love, and that Allah make His love more dear to us than everything else, that Allah enable us to follow this messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, placing our feet behind His footsteps, our tongues behind His tongue, our hearts following His hearts, and our character following His character. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleena. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And please excuse me.